Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
The Democrats have been tricked by being high on their own supply into thinking that everybody thinks that your gender or your race or like the fact that they're so baffled, like how could Latinos vote for Trump? They're so confused.
Dude,
how could Latinos vote for Trump? It's because Latinos, first and foremost, do not think about themselves when they wake up in the morning as like, oh, I'm a Latino, you know? No, they're waking up and they're going to work and they have a family. You know, they're doing all these things. They're not thinking about their, they're not thinking about their racial identity as like the thing that drive all these single women that are advising Kamala who have nothing except their identity because they have nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Same with Kamala. She doesn't have any kids. So what does she do every day? She wakes up and thinks about her identity as a brown Jamaican Indian Protestant pastor. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast being recorded in the golden age of America.
Oh yeah.
It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Yeah, I got a dozen eggs for 79 cents on the way over here, and gas was free. He did it.
I drove by the gas station. People were drinking it they were playing in it like a fire hydrant in a movie from the 70s.
They were running up to each other on the street and saying, a little boy ran by my window and an old man came out of my window. It's my windowsill. And he said, son, mm-hmm. who won the presidential election? He said, why, Donald Trump, of course. And he flipped him a silver piece and said, go buy a Christmas goose. We've done this bit before,
and
but it's a good one.
And ticker tape was coming down from the roofs of buildings. And Navy men were kissing women for once.
Mm-hmm.
It's like guys in the Navy kissed women one time in the 40s and then didn't kiss women for like 60 years.
And they took a picture of it. That's why they took that picture, because it was a momentous occasion. It was the most. It was the.
It was the
first
guy.
Thing that happened that day. It was the
Germany,
crazy thing.
Germany surrendered.
Thing that happened on D-Day was a Navy.
Germany surrendered, but a Navy man is straight for the first time.
Kissing a woman. That's crazy.
No offense to our troops. Except the Air Force.
At least the
obviously.
Navy men.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. So how are you feeling? Golden age of America has begun.
Feeling good. I was thinking we should have like done the opposite side of the bit where we like
oh, you're sad.
Get really sad and melodramatic about like my daughter woke up this morning and asked me why I was crying, and I said we didn't elect the first female and also I think black woman president.
Mm-hmm.
And then my infant daughter crossed her arms and said Kamala Danda forever, and that's the kind of pop culture reference I can get behind.
Mm-hmm. And I think, hold on, you have to say something like, my daughter came into the room today and said Kamala forever, and I think that's what we need right now as a nation.
It's Kamala forever.
I'm going to build a Lego set of Kamala Harris to cope.
I think that's what this nation really needs right now.
This is what this nation really needs
right now.
Our good
friend Katie Prejean McCrady said that Donald Trump should put Kamala Harris in his cabinet. I think that
and
is
I,
wrong. I think he should put Joe Biden in his cabinet.
One last ride.
I think he should make a special spot. Actually, I think he should give him agriculture. I think he should be the DAG, the DAG.
Put him on the Supreme Court. Make it ten, and just the tenth one is Joe. His vote counts for half, but he's there.
He's the tiebreaker in a group of nine.
Dude, have you noticed that everything he said since Trump got elected has been completely lucid? The stutter's
incredible.
Gone. They either got him a new blood boy, or it was all an act, which is
or
crazy.
They were sticking him.
That's true.
I'm pro Biden now, by the way.
Who isn't?
Everybody's like, man, we all got rose colored glasses about that guy now. Mm-hmm. I'm sad that he fell off that bicycle. I'm sad that he fell walking up the stairs. I feel bad that he dropped his ice cream. I just want him to have a good time now.
Did you see that Jill wore red to go vote?
Dude, that's so funny.
That's insane. Can you imagine?
I think they voted for Trump.
They had to have. She wrote in Joe. But like my wife says that she writes in my name, you know, when she votes.
Yeah, so. My wife said that she wrote in my name and she didn't actually. Yeah. I thought I got one vote for sheriff of Brevard County.
Nope. Unfortunate.
Our sheriff runs unopposed every year. It's great.
Yeah. So I feel good about the election. I feel pleased. I think that's what should have happened. People are losing their minds though.
Yeah.
My friend does pickup for some middle schoolers, and there's two 13-year-old boys, and she said that in the car one of them was complaining about how much he hated Trump and how much he thinks that abortions should be legal up until birth. And this friend of mine has had like a child die, and
that's tough.
And so it's just like she wanted to hit him. And it's like, I get that. I would have just probably called him names. I would have bullied him.
Yeah, that's
like you can't be 13 and left wing, you know?
That's so
that just that's if you're a guy, if you're a girl, whatever.
You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want.
But yeah, a young boy. I don't trust anyone who wasn't a libertarian when they were 13.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you weren't really into Ron Paul when you were 13, what were you doing?
Because it shows at the core, it shows like a rosy picture of like, mm-hmm. this young boy thinks that if everyone was just left to their own devices, surely we would all be good, right? Surely we would all be fine.
Did you see what Stephen Colbert said?
What'd he say?
He said in his monologue, he said, well, I guess a majority of this country doesn't want democracy.
Nice. I love
that
it.
That is like probably the stupidest, most brain dead thing I've ever heard anybody say. A majority of people voted for something, and it's undemocratic.
I'm reading Pat Dineen's book, Regime Change.
Don't talk about him like you know him. Dr. Patrick Dineen, thank you.
Dr. Patrick Roger Dineen.
Is his middle name Roger?
I don't know. Maybe.
Dr. Like Patrick Roderick Rules Dineen.
His new book, Regime Change, it's not new, but it's like 2023, I think. But it's about, it talks about how the parties, there's like two groups of people in America, the populace and the elites, mm-hmm. and the elite populace play off the anger of the gentry to the elites, or what's gentry, and the demos, the people are angry at the elites, so the populace play off of that, and the elites believe that the people are corrupt and uneducated,
sure,
and so the left plays off of that, and so they try to get the educated vote. And anyway, it's kind of showing itself now that, you know, all of the, I saw someone on Twitter say the left needs its own propaganda machine. And I was like, hey, man,
whoa,
where have you been?
We've been experiencing a lot of like, I wonder if I lack this self-awareness at some points in my life. But people on Reddit are saying, oh, I guess Reddit is just a big echo chamber. And people are saying, oh, the left needs its own propaganda machine. And it's like,
where have you been?
Have I ever? I fear that one day I will say something like that, that is so ludicrous just and obtuse, unself-aware, yeah, that I just can't even imagine not thinking that the entire media apparatus since 2008 has been a leftist propaganda machine. Yeah. Dude, every commercial.
We watched CNN in middle school. Like, they had a kids' news curriculum.
Yes.
Could you imagine Fox News having a kids' news curriculum?
Dude, if I ever
people
become a social studies teacher,
the Daily Wire,
I'm showing Alex Jones to the children.
It'd be insane.
You do both sides. You show them the Young Turks, you show them Alex Jones, so that they get both sides of it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny. It was funny because they were like, oh, Rogan and all these podcasters, Theo Von, that's the right's propaganda wing. And they come up with these ideas of, you know, right wing money is funding these people. And it's like, this is just what QAnon says about every time there's a left wing protest. Oh, it's George Soros funding the agents provocateur.
Yeah, and pallets of bricks are being delivered.
Yeah,
to the
exactly.
Streets.
It's just blue anon. That's what it is. It's just silly.
It's also crazy to say that, like, comedians are just like the last people that would need money from politicians, because they don't, especially a successful one. Because if you can make money by making people laugh, it's like here's the thing. There's a code amongst comedians. The bad comedians are the ones that take the hack jobs at the late night shows and and on the networks, right? The good comedians are the ones that make money doing whatever they want to do.
Ones that beg to be cast members on SNL are not the ones that are well respected.
Like, Tim Dillon was in Joker 2 and then did 20 minutes on his podcast after Joker 2 came out about how god awful Joker 2 was. He was in it for like 3 seconds. He was like a guard in the Arkham Asylum or something.
That's funny.
Like, he was in it for a moment. he's repeatedly referred to it as the worst movie ever made, which I think is great. I love that, because that's how you know he's not bought and paid for. You know, man. He's just open about, I want to make money. I thought this would be cool. Turned out it sucked, you know. But you'll never hear, if Stephen Colbert was in some left wing, or like the people that were in Jerry Seinfeld's Pop-Tarts movie, they're not going to say a bad word about that movie, even though it sucked.
I haven't heard about it since it came out.
Right. There you go.
It wasn't enduring.
Well, it's because he's funded by BB.
BB?
Netanyahu.
Oh.
So I don't know. Oh, I don't know what to, believe about any of that stuff. But it is weird to look at Theo Von and be like, oh, he's a right wing, dark money recipient.
Yeah, and I think the motivation of this election cycle of people like, I tried. This is the election of the podcasters. I could not be more happy. It's the posters and the podcasters ran this election. The guy, so I saw another really funny tweet that was like, Elon's such an idiot. He spent $44 billion and all he got was control of all three branches of the federal government.
I also saw that. It's true.
Which, hey, I did predict back when Elon said he was gonna buy Twitter, back when he was a lefty. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad.
It turned out to be great.
But then he got pilled because his son became trans.
Yeah.
Again, butterfly effect.
Right. Like, someone made fun of him online and said, you won't buy it. And then he's like, I will. Trump made fun, or Obama made fun of Trump at the White House Correspondents Dinner.
I watch that clip sometimes from the White House Correspondents Dinner and the mean tweets thing on Kimmel or whatever it was. And I go, man. Yeah. You idiot. You don't know when to quit. Whoever.
That's the problem. That's their issue. Is that they're like, it's the same thing that like Joe, as much as we look back at him with rose colored glasses, they probably could have won the election had he just decided to not run again. But he had to, you know, either personally or
someone did ask his press what? Secretary. Someone asked his press secretary about if they think that Kamala lost because of their arrogance in thinking they were the only people who could beat Donald Trump. And she responded, we are the only people who have beaten Donald Trump. I'm like, damn, respect. You're right.
I do like that. I do like that when you ball don't lie.
It's like, oh, do you think that Kamala lost because you guys think you're the only, well, we are. So I don't know what to tell you. Republican, they threw every Republican at him, all lost. You know, it's like they threw every Democrat at him. They threw the best one they had. She lost. They threw the JV in. She lost too. It's hard to fight that. It's hard to argue with that. But that's not what I wanted to say. This is the election of the podcast, a podcast presidency. Listening to the podcast that Vance and Trump decided to go on, mm-hmm. versus the two podcasts that Kamala went on. Yeah. I listened to them.
Mm-hmm. You listened to the Kamala episodes?
I did.
You listened to Call Her Daddy and All the Smoke
podcast. I did. I was unaware. I think I told you this. I was unaware that you're supposed to refer to the woman as daddy. I thought it was like, send a telephone call to her father. I thought that was what it was. I was like, why are we calling this girl's father? What did she do wrong? Huh? She bullying someone?
Apparently.
The girl spent like 20 minutes talking about how hard it was for her to prepare for the interview and how she drafted 7 different versions of the interview. Which,
when I was writing this interview, I had such a hard time because Kamala has more than a friend to me. She's a sister.
I love it. No, what I heard was, oh man, you drafted 7 and they rejected 6 of them. I was like, I can't believe you had to draft your interview ahead of time. Anyway, but Vance and the Vance and Trump interviews were like, mm-hmm. 3 hour long. They were conversational. Trump is old. His were less compelling,
sure,
than Vance's, in my opinion. Trump was like very reminiscent. When I walked also into the White House for the first time.
Yeah.
But Vance was very like policy driven.
Trump, the other thing about Trump is that we've almost heard too much of him. Like, we kind of know all of his beats at this point on pretty much, if you've listened to anything that he said, any of his speeches, it's rarely new, you mm-hmm. know, he might get a zinger in here and there, but like the Rogan podcast, the Vance was way better for Rogan.
It was wonderful.
And
going from listening to Vance's, even the one where he was on an antagonistic interview with the Times, even the ones where the interviewer was hostile to him, he did great. Mm-hmm. He deflected really well. She would say things like, one of my colleagues, a lot of vocal fry in there. One of my colleagues asked, what kind of JD, which JD Vance are you going to get? And I want to ask, like, how would you respond to that? Which is like such an asshole thing to say. Such a mean thing to say. But he goes, well, you know, like, we all have different sides and we put our different, you know, in different situations, we're feeling different things. And, you know, sometimes at rallies, I'm excited. Sometimes it, you know, in interviews, I'm more relaxed or I'm pissed off about something. You know, he's like, I have different emotions. I'm a human being.
Yeah.
I think he did really well in those antagonistic interviews. And he laid out his policy positions. After a while, I listened to about 3 of his interviews. I was like, all right, yeah, he's got the same talking points. He's something on immigration, something on the economy, something on foreign wars. And Kamala's interviews, too, were awful. They were the mm-hmm. exact opposite. I don't even want to do the impression. I did.
I think we don't have to anymore because she's gone. We never she's have gone. To hear her again.
I'll just say, like, I think the big miss from the Democratic Party was that they thought that people cared about the soft stuff and people cared about the economy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People thought that like the social liberals lost because people don't care about social liberalism right now. They care about the economy.
Yeah.
And maybe next election, if the economy's fine or if it's beyond repair like it was during COVID, maybe they'll care about the social stuff again and the Democrats will win. But it's like people just didn't this time around. They did not care about we need to make sure that people's voices are heard. They just didn't care about that.
Right. And, I mean, just think about every, I don't know, for all these recent elections, the most successful Democratic president of all time, Barack Obama, he won because he promised change, but he also promised to, like, with the Medicare or the healthcare for everybody, and the and he was going to bomb people in other countries, and also he was going to fix the economy. He was going to fix it from the crash, from the big crash that happened. Mm. He's like, I'll fix it. And there was a huge pain point. And also John McCain was old and crusty, and, you know, so it made sense. But he did not win because he maybe won because he was black, but I don't think so. I think he was really strong on those hard issues, to your point.
Yeah.
And then same thing with Trump in 2016, right? He won. He didn't win because he was, mean or orange or any of those things. He, like, spoke to people about, like, your towns are dying and I'm going to revitalize your towns, you know?
Yeah.
And he saw a bunch of turnout that the Republicans hadn't seen in forever. Joe is like, hey, I'm going to fix COVID. So we're like, great. You know,
do it, well, please.
And also I have 20 million ballots on a barge somewhere that I can just, I can bring over anytime, that will also help me win. So I don't think they were tricked. The Democrats have been tricked by being high on their own supply into thinking that everybody thinks that your gender or your race or, like, the fact that they're so baffled, like, how could Latinos vote for Trump? They're so confused.
Dude,
how could Latinos vote for Trump? It's because Latinos, first and foremost, do not think about themselves when they wake up in the morning as, like, oh, I'm a Latino, you know? No, they're waking up and they're going to work and they have a family, you know, they're doing all these things. They're not thinking about their, they're not thinking about their racial identity as, like, the thing that drive all these single women that are advising Kamala, who have nothing except their identity because they have nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Same with Kamala. She doesn't have any kids. So what does she do every day? She wakes up and thinks about her identity as a brown Jamaican Indian Protestant pastor, all the things that she's been over the years. So it's baffling to me that they didn't realize that.
People that are baffled, they're like, how could Latinos vote for Trump if they have undocumented relatives?
Maybe they don't like their relatives. Have you ever liked all of your relatives? Yeah, have you ever hated your relatives?
Like every single one of your relatives? I saw this, yeah, again, like, oh no, I'm so scared. My mother-in-law is undocumented. She lives on 4th Street in a park.
That's funny. I like that.
My mother-in-law is not undocumented, and she is extremely Republican. She's a legal immigrant from Mexico. You know who really doesn't like illegal immigrants? Legal immigrants.
Yes.
If I had to go through this process, you're going through this process.
Yeah, it's very odd. So what's the future? What's the future for you and me? Obviously, Trump is going to become Catholic. He's going to convert. Right.
Obviously,
and we're going to enter
a Melkite Catholic.
It's going to be Christo fascist, sort of monarchical.
Yeah. We're going to send crosses into space to colonize Mars for the church.
Please.
Which is great. It's actually perfect because we can build spaceships that we can build space stations that are in the shape of crosses. Because they don't need to be like aero or hydrodynamic, and we can just send them as crosses across space.
Yeah,
and
baptizing,
they will be
in the name
baptizing
of the Father,
aliens
and the Son,
as
and the
we
Father,
go.
Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I do think we should go to Mars, and I do think we should put a cross on Mars. Did we ever put a cross on the moon?
No, but we should have.
Because I know Buzz Aldrin or whoever had communion on the plane, or whatever it's called, spaceship. but he's also a Protestant, so he brought juice and crackers with him.
I don't think he's the one that actually brought Jesus.
Because there's certainly There certainly was a Catholic.
There was a Catholic astronaut who brought communion and had
who brought communion with him, but it wasn't one of the first ones.
No.
So I do think we should go to space. I have so many. There's so much that could happen, and I just really don't know what's going to happen. What I do know is that podcasting. It's weird because it feels like Twitter is as important as it's ever been, which is weird because that's what it felt like in 2016 also, you know?
Yeah.
And then it like went down and then it came back.
It was popular. It was important in 2016 because it was more or less a forum. People were more or less having conversations on there. It was less important in 2020 because it was North Korea. You just like YouTube and Twitter in 2020 was like, you couldn't say the word coronavirus on YouTube. Do you remember this? Like they would, they would search your video and demonetize it if you said.
That's why I always called it the China virus.
Yeah, that's why I called it the Kung Flu, which I'm upset. I'm upset that didn't take off. Everyone was mad that was racist. That's clever. That's at least a little clever. That's at least kind of funny. You gotta have a sense of humor about these things. What's racist about Kung Fu? It's from China. And so's the virus.
We're trying to honor their heritage.
Come on.
It's okay respectful. If anything, it's respectful to call it the Kung
Flu.
We had an
attorney general named Lawrence Eagleburger. That's pretty American. We can make fun of that.
That's crazy. Right? His name is Eagleburger? Right?
Yeah, well, you showed me this guy, Lawrence Eagleburger. Yeah. Most American last name.
I showed you this guy.
Yeah, you showed me Lawrence Eagleburger.
I think I remembered Lawrence Eagleburger.
Ben, roll the tape. Roll the Lawrence Eagleburger tape.
It's weird to be I'm just thinking about us, right? And I'm also thinking about oh no, both of my children are crying at the moment.
Are they both right down there?
No, Peter's in his room, but I can hear him, which means Emma's in his room, but Henry's in here with me.
Sounds like he's okay.
Yeah,
I can't hear him anymore.
Okay, that's good. I'm thinking about us and podcasting and Catholicism and evangelization, because if people are being convinced of things that they weren't convinced of before through podcasts and X, and that's what we're doing, it's almost like, I don't know. I feel like it was really hot to evangelize on the internet for a while, and then I was like, I don't know. But it does feel like there's sort of a new fertile ground for... Yeah. Inviting people to consider alternative points of view
I think online. It's because it more or less didn't have any teeth.
You think
people credit Catholic answers. So think about early days social media evangelization back in the day. Brandon Vaught is writing on strange
people would just
notions.
post lists of relics in like threads.
No. I'm talking like Web 2. I'm talking blogs and the early days of Catholic Answers in the 90s. They're still publishing a Catholic. The year is 1998.
Oh, wow. So Patrick I'm 2 Debbie, years old. I'm posting.
Ethan and Pat are posting. They're also in their toddler years. They're pooping their pants. All right. Trent Horn is still a twinkle or Scott Hahn has just converted to Catholicism. Mike Cirilla has stopped following around the Grateful Dead.
Trent Horn is a twink.
We can't call it that.
We can.
But the year is 1990, and people are posting, and we've got babies. Catholic Answers, I think, is the exception to this. These guys were like engaging with people that were not Catholic on a level of directly answering questions. That's what Brandon Vaught was doing on his blog, Strange Notions, where he was talking to atheists on a forum. He created a forum for atheists and Catholics to talk to each other.
Called Strange Notions.
Yes, called Strange Notions. Not a very interesting name by today's standards, but hey, it was the early 2000s. You know, stuff was going down, or maybe it was the 2010s. I don't know. But at some point in between then and now, the apologetic, you know, we're going to talk to the Protestants, try and convince them, we're going to debate stuff. That kind of stopped. And maybe this is just what I was exposed to. We got more of like a, what's it like? Kind of like a Disney Catholicism. I remember the first time I heard a Catholic speaker talk about their political views, I was shocked. Like, why would you say something controversial? Like, this is supposed to be, you know, an uncontroversial presentation of the truth. It's a Disney popular Catholicism, like that Life Teen. I'm not gonna nitpick them, but a teen friendly Catholicism that's non-confrontational. I think that was what took hold, and that's what the internet Catholicism became, where it was, you know, let's make a list of all of the places where you can find relics. You know what I mean? Like, this teenage gamer might become the first millennial saint. You know, it's stuff like that. It's let's evangelize by being cool and doing the cool thing that is popular in pop culture. It's the downstream from culture thing. That's how we're going to evangelize. We're going to be downstream from culture. This is the Mars Hill doing a series on Jesus is the real superhero because Superman came out in theaters. And so we're doing a series on Jesus, how Jesus is a superhero. That kind of Catholicism predominated for a long time. And I think that's changed, where the Catholic conversation on social media and in the evangelization world is more combative. It's like direct, you know, that's what we're trying to do. It's like with the course, we want you to go convert your friends, tell them about Jesus. Here's what you say. I don't think you would have seen that from, I don't think you would have seen that 10 years ago from a popular Catholic organization. Anyway, I'm vamping because Henry seems frustrated.
Oh, he's really crying. I'm going to have to pause and then we'll have to come back.
That's okay.
I think he pooped his pants.
Oh, he's so cute, man.
He is very cute, but
Hi, Henry.
But Emma's with Peter, so give me, stick around.
I'll stay right.
I gotta take care of this kid. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Hey, it's Doogie here, and with the weather changing, November is your last chance to replace your old drafty windows before the winter cold weather arrives. If yours are cracked or leaking and won't open or even stay open, then it's time to call the pros at Window Nation. Right now, you can get 50% off all styles of windows, double hungs, bays, sliders, it doesn't matter. Plus, you could save even more with 0% interest for 60 months. That's 5 full years. Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty, and it can be installed in one day or less. With proven quality and service, it's no wonder thousands of homeowners have trusted Window Nation for their homes. And you can too. So if your old finicky windows and high energy costs from this winter are cutting deep into your finances, I don't want you to miss out. With the 50% off of all styles of windows, plus 0% interest for 60 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Ethan, I'm running into a bit of a problem.
Again?
I accidentally introduced my son Leo to television and movies. Uh-huh. And he wants to see Jungle Book so bad. He asked me, like, Jungle Book? And he's so cute, and I want to show him Jungle Book, but I also don't want him to be addicted to television for his entire life. Have you experienced this yourself?
Yes, my son really loves Peter Pan, and so every day it's see Captain Hook, want to fight Captain Hook. So we are deep in the minds.
Same
of,
boat.
In the grip of 1930s Disney films.
They really got that stranglehold on.
They do.
I was thinking, you know, I was talking to Phoebe, is like, what are some ways that we can, you know, kind of, because it, one way to go is like, I'm going to cancel out digital stuff entirely, but you know, it's unrealistic. I want to like set up rules and stuff for my family, like some kind of structure that we can use and stick to.
Sort of like so a code to live by.
Are you familiar with any place that I could get such a thing?
Or a Benedictine monastery.
Yeah, right. A rule of life or something. Do you happen to know anyone who's had 16 children and could help me out?
I do. There's a guy named Connor who actually wrote a book about this very thing, if you can believe it. It's called The Well-Ordered Family. And contained therein is the Well-Ordered Family Management System. So it takes out all of the guesswork, all of the confusion, all of the how do I know how much time and energy put into this? How do I make sure that we got this taken care of? How do I invest for my children's future in more ways than one? It's all there in the Well-Ordered Family, which I really appreciate.
Nice. And I believe they sent us a discount code for our our viewers. They can get 50% off the book.
Is that true?
That's a really solid discount, actually. So
hold on.
Go to wellorderedfamily.com.
I'm going there right now. Yeah.
If you go to wellorderedfamily.com, you put that book in your cart, and you use the code CRUNCH50, you'll get 50% off the book, which is great. You can go through the system, check it out, and then see what Connor has to offer.
Yeah, go to wellorderedfamily.com, and up at the top, you click Get the Book, and that'll take you to the book purchase page. Oh! And then coupon code CRUNCH. I'm applying 50. It right now. CRUNCH50. Thank you. CRUNCH50. And, oh, look at that. I just got 50% off. So my book just went from $24.95 USD to $12.47. So
huge. Wellorderedfamily.com. Take advantage of it now. Thanks so much to Well-Ordered Family for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
I missed a lot of what you're saying because Henry was screaming his head off.
Oh, yeah.
But it sounded really good. I mean, like your cadence your inflection, you know, but the actual words, I missed a lot of them.
Dude, I forgot what I was talking about.
You were talking about Web 2.0 for some reason.
I was talking about how up until recently, there was a period in the 90s that was very polemic. And early, like before we kind of started getting into our faith, there was a part that was very polemic. It was the Patrick Madrid and Scott Hahn and we are converts and we're going to tell you why you should convert too.
Right.
And then
Steve Ray.
Yeah. While we were getting older, right? Like it was very much motivating the Catholics that might leave soon. It's like when we were in high school, a lot of the material that was out there was safe. It was... Right. The only polemic was, here's why you shouldn't have sex or watch pornography.
Yeah.
And it was very safe. There were no opinions, which is why it's kind of shocking when like Jason Everett's at a Trump event. You're like, hold on.
Did he go to a Trump event?
Yeah, he was at a thing. He was at a fundraiser in West Palm Beach, Catholics for Catholics.
Catholics for Catholics?
Yeah, it's the only fundraiser by Catholics for Catholics.
That's funny. We should have crunchers for crunch, crunch for crunch. And crunch everyone comes crunch. And they just hand us dollar bills.
30 for 30. The only podcast by 30-year-olds for 30-year-olds.
That is going to be us in no time. So in prepare no for time. That. Dude, I can't believe I'm going to turn 30 and Trump's going to be the president. That's crazy.
That's stupid.
Freaking crazy. Last time he was president, I was damn near 19 years old.
I was 18 or 19 years old sitting in the J.C. Williams Center filling out my ballot to mail in, you know,
the day after the election.
Yeah, dude. Anyway, so the bet period was the attitude was we're going to evangelize on the internet. And by that, I mean, we're going to post things that are like, isn't it cool to be Catholic? And can't you be Catholic while also eating pizza? That was like there was a Pope Francis quote right at the beginning, like, we need saints that eat pizza, and American Catholics just latched onto that, like, yeah, we can engage in pop culture and be Catholic. And then pop culture all of a sudden got really gay,
really
and
weird.
We were like, we can't do this anymore. And
I know. Like, Pope Francis, I don't know what shows they get in the Vatican, but Glee is
I specifically mean Glee. And you can't get mad at me for calling it that, because it is that. That's what it was.
Right.
Every single character was like some flavor of gay.
It'd be so funny if
I even remember in middle school being like, this seems like too many in one place in Ohio.
Right. The statistics just don't add up.
They don't add up, man.
It's like when they send people to space in the movies and there's a person from each race on the mission.
Yeah, you're like, hold on a minute. Did you guys pick one from each?
Did you guys really just do one from each? I started watching Alien Covenant last night.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't make it very far. But I'm hoping to finish it soon. I don't understand why they keep sending people into space in this Alien franchise. And, like, something goes wrong. I don't think they've ever sent a ship into space in this movie series where something hasn't gone wrong. It's like at a certain point, you just stop going into space, you know?
What's the purpose of going into space?
Yeah, it's like, oh, our solar sails have experienced a disruption from the neutrino. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And the last time you got hit by a rock, and the time before that you misprogrammed the freeze chambers. And, it's like, come on, guys. Yeah.
Come on.
If you're a spacefaring race, it should all be computers, you know?
Yeah, it should not have any human input basically whatsoever.
Your whole, and this is Elon's success, it's all just hamsters on wheels powering it all. There's no human, untouched by human hands.
All artificial, baby. That's the way to go.
What were we saying? I'm thinking that because there is a very definite and clear shift to the right, especially amongst young men, and there's a more of a friendliness to, I was talking to Thursday today, mm-hmm. crazy crossover moment. I used to see
him every week, so not really. Yeah,
we had a 30-minute conversation, and we were talking about...
Over the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was nice.
That's cool. He's a cool guy, right?
He is a cool guy. But he was saying that he feels about Jordan Peterson fans the same way he feels about Jordan Peterson, and it's that they're a lot further away from real faith than people like to believe. Mm. And I think that's true. So I think there is an element of just because someone is friendly to the right or has moved away from like wokeness doesn't necessarily mean that they're like ready to jump in feet first. So I do think that there's a huge opportunity though, because if all you're seeing is like Barron or Father Mike Schmitz or whatever, it's like or even like people like Amber Rose or these other like kind of influencer accounts, I think there's an opportunity to show like a real intellectually meaty and like vibrant virile Catholicism that's not I don't know, that's not like trad for trad's sake or Novus Ordo-y for Novus Ordo-y's sake. It's like there's just got to be something that is like has the intellectual rigor and the lifestyle rigor that is attractive to like the types of people who moved to the right over the last 4 years. It's like they want something real and something that's rooted in something deeper than just the transient social media trends or the transient pop culture memes, you know?
And if you listen to Vance talk about his Catholicism, someone responded, when he mentioned that he converted Catholicism, he didn't even say God or Jesus. And I said, well, that can't possibly be true. And I looked it up and it was not true. So there's that. But
got him.
But he was asked by the New York Times what drew you to Catholicism. And he was like, well, first, it's really old. And I'm like, I get that. It's like that first thing. But it seems to me what drew him most to Catholicism was the lifestyle rigor, this growth mm-hmm. of virtue. And he was like, I climbed to the top of the meritocracy and I felt empty. And these things that the meritocracy said I would be fulfilled by were not fulfilling me. And so I started mm-hmm. searching for something and I found, you know, I rediscovered my faith. Mm-hmm. He's like, I always believed in that Jesus is the savior and all this stuff, but like the Catholicism piece of it is it offers and he specifically mentioned the sacramental view of marriage and like these other traditional things, and those are appealing because it is a transcendent worldview. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the movie Onward, Pixar?
About the pants?
Yes. Yes.
That's all I know. I don't think I've seen it.
It's their dad.
Their dad becomes legs.
Yeah, they bring their dad back from the dead, but only his legs.
But only his legs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's this like Dungeons and Dragons world that has been modernized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this world where everyone's an elf or an orc or something, and there's fairies and there's dragons and
so it's Portland.
There used to be adventurers, and they go to a tavern, and they talk to an old adventurer, and she mm-hmm. tells them about what used to be, but like people don't believe in magic anymore, even though there are these vestiges of magic. They're like, yeah, magic isn't really important. We have all these technologies and stuff. And I watched that, and I was like, isn't that the world that we live in now? There's all of these vestiges of this time that used to be, and young people are discovering, wow, we used to go on adventures. We used to try and make things. We used to harness mm-hmm. this power that was given to us. by some unknown mystical father that would guide us to find actually like brotherhood. You know, that's the end of the movie, is they end up not seeing their dad again. He realizes that his brother was a father figure to him during his whole life. He never met his
dad. The legs go away?
Yeah, he never actually meets his father in the movie, I don't think.
Oh,
but it's a very beautiful movie. It's just I loved it.
Is it a Pixar film?
Yeah, it's a Pixar movie.
I've never heard of this movie.
Onward? It's pretty good. I think it's a COVID movie.
Yeah, nobody talks about it. In the same way that nobody talks about Soul or the Panda one.
I think this one was different than Soul and the Panda one. Because I think it was a product, unfortunately, of the fact that Pixar doesn't care about new stories anymore and they don't really market them as much as they used to. And I also think it was a COVID hit too, because I remember watching it like on Disney Plus. It wasn't in theaters. But I think it's a great representation of what our world is that there's all these vestiges of the past and the magic and the virtue and the Holy Spirit and the sacraments that we used to have this kind of God-given power over our environment that we just don't have anymore. And so young people are discovering it and they're going like, why did we get rid of this in the first place? And so that kind of thing is attractive. This is all to say that kind of thing is attractive. It's not the main thing. The main thing is complete and total transformation into Christ. But you can't say that to the New York Times.
No. You know? Can't say that to most people.
Yeah. You can't. And so like, and I think that's the biggest change, is that what we've tried saying to the world as Catholics is, well, you just need to be like, you just need to love Jesus. And they hear that, and those words are simple in the same way that like spend less than you make is simple, but people don't do it, you know?
Right.
There are these principles in the world.
Eat healthy and exercise.
Correct. It's like, it sounds so easy and then it doesn't happen. And so you need to have some other kind of motivator. You need to have a carrot and a stick, a whip and a rein, as Dante would say. And I think for the right, or at least for young people that are kind of moving.
I
whip in the rein and the horse goes nay, nay, nay. All
right. Yeah.
You whip and then you nay, nay. All right. And so
I got it.
Yeah. Just double checking. That's the name of the song. The
Soldier Boy.
That's one way that I think Catholicism's appealed. It's like, it's a new way of life. It's why those ads about pornography didn't work. Cause it
Which
was
ones?
Like the ones that Kamala ran about, how like, you're going to be watching porn and then some Republican senator's going to come and take your phone. And all the guys watching it were like, promise? I don't want to be doing this.
Right.
You know, like, I feel compelled to do this.
Right.
And so that had the opposite effect on these men, and I saw people talking about it on Twitter. They were like, I don't want that. I want that taken out of my hand and thrown away. James had a really great video about that with did you see it with the guy on the phone?
No.
He did one of his customer service kind of prank calls where he called Apple and was like, how do I get a phone that doesn't have pornography?
This is an old video. Yes.
Old video.
Yeah, I've seen this.
And they're like, well, you can block it. He's like, no, I'll get around it. How do I get one that just doesn't have it? It's that. And it's like, I think those things appeal to people, and we should lean into that more. And then as they come down the road, they will encounter Jesus. It's what they're searching for, and what they're searching for in the end is God. They're like, oh, I want to live a more virtuous life. And the thing they're going to find on the other end of that is Christ. You just have to be patient with them. They're earnestly seeking the good. It's different from someone who has known the good and has utterly rejected it and still claims the name of Catholic. It's different.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
I looked at the camera. I know it feels like I looked at you.
Yeah.
I got in a lot of trouble on Twitter the other day for referring to J.D. Vance as the first Catholic vice president, but I stand by it. Because
you should.
Because Biden just rejected Catholicism. It's not like, oh, he might not realize how bad abortion is. It's like he was against abortion and gay marriage and flip flop for power. It's worse. It's like a
repudiation. Who among us? You know, there but for the grace of God. I think it is interesting you brought up the ads that Kamala made. There was the one about pornography, and then there was the other one about hiding your vote from your husband. And there was another one that came out a while ago. It was probably over a month ago. That was like all these quote unquote traditionally macho men that were were voting for Kamala.
I'm man enough to vote for a woman.
Right. And they all backfired because they all missed out on, I think, what the left fundamentally doesn't understand.
Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
Yeah, I got my little blue
little
snorkel.
Swimming boy? You little snorkel?
Swimming. I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you, even if they think you're the worst person on the planet. They have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach, and so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Cringe. Men yearn for greatness. They do not yearn for mediocrity. But the left is full of men that yearn for mediocrity. Like, all they want is hedonism on their terms. But if you have any sort of life of grace in you, then you yearn for something much larger than yourself. And so to have a bunch of men line up and clearly fake, like, it was clearly, you could see right through it. It's like, okay, that's not actually a man who is striving for something. I can tell that these are actors, but even like the words that they're saying don't ring true. Or like the ad where it was encouraging women to lie to their husbands. It's like, there's something that sits wrong with you because you want a great marriage where you don't have to lie to each other. And then the one that you mentioned, right? Pornography. It's like, I don't want pornography actually in my life. I want it to be gone. So it's just this weird misunderstanding of what actually makes men tick. And not to say that women don't also yearn for greatness, right? It's
no,
but because the left fundamentally misunderstands that too. It's just we understand that more clearly because they think it's Gen Z boss in a mini, and when it's actually, you know,
I want to have kids. I want, you know,
36 weeks and a nap, you know, or whatever pregnant women need. I'm trying to think of something clever on the spot there.
36 weeks in a meal train. That's what I want.
There you go. 36 weeks in a meal train. That's good. I like that. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think there's, AOP just tweeted that there's a huge opportunity to create wealth over the next 4 years. And while I don't deny that, and I think you should do that if that's your inclination, what I also think is these 4 years will provide a great opportunity to introduce people to Christ and introduce people to a vigorous, virtuous way of living. Mm-hmm. Because there has been a resounding rejection of a flaccid, vicious way of living.
Yes.
And I think that means something culturally.
Yeah, the Kamala ads fundamentally misunderstood what people were looking for. The reason why I'm not voting for her is not because I'm not man enough to vote for a woman. That's right. Not the problem.
It has nothing to do with her being a woman.
Yes.
Not nothing. It has very little to do with her being a woman. The fact that she kept saying I'm speaking and looking at the camera like a girl boss did upset me. And I did not like that.
No, that does not appeal to men.
That does not appeal to men, and no man, no straight man would ever do that.
Yes. No man, no political candidate would ever do that. No man would do that. They would simply talk louder. That's what you do. It's just, that's why they kept having to turn off the mics for the guys.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Excuse me, I'm talking. Does that sound familiar?
Sound familiar. Which is, that's what a henpecked husband would do. And that's been Trump's, that's just the way Trump has been affecting himself while he's debating. He just pretends to be, oh my gosh, a boomer husband. I'm not like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like the next 4 years are going to be incredible.
They are.
Let's say you don't think the next 4 years are, just for the sake of argument,
right?
The next 4 years is not going to be incredible. They're certainly not going to be disastrous. The man has actually run the country before in arguably worse conditions because he had all of Washington, D.C. against him, both left and right.
Now he has no one like help. Way more experience.
Yeah. People are fine with him. They like him better than the alternative. He has like actual allies in the Republican Party that are on his side, and he has the Senate and the House.
And he has a mandate from heaven. Don't forget that.
Apparently.
He turned his head at
the popular
right moment,
vote.
Patrick.
That's crazy.
The popular vote, the bullet whizzing past his head.
Dude.
He worked at McDonald's.
I told Bibi about those stories. She was like, dang, that's funny.
She didn't know about that he got shot at?
No, my lovely wife. No, my wife knew about getting shot at, but I meant the stories about the McDonald's and the
garbage truck.
The garbage truck. Yeah, the garbage truck.
Yeah.
That was just incredible.
It is insane. I don't know if I talked about this with you on the bonus podcast, but it's insane that Kamala campaigned for 100 days and managed to produce exactly zero iconic moments or mimetic images.
That is true.
actually have to try to do that. At least Joe like bites a kid every once in a while and you're like, that's funny.
It's funny that Joe had more than she did during the campaign.
He did.
Joe was out there more often. And
Joe was out there putting on Trump hats and biting children, doing what he does.
But it's because Kamala cannot. She doesn't have it. She's not independent. Joe is an establishment guy, but he thinks for himself. Kamala just doesn't. She prepared. JD mentioned this on one of his podcasts. He was like, her schedule for the Bret Baier interview was empty for 2 days before the interview. She had to prepare 2 days for a 45-minute interview. Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Could you imagine?
And it wasn't even 45 minutes. She cut it short. She
did,
got
really?
Stressed out. Yeah, it was only like 23 minutes or something.
No way. Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah, she should not be president. She can't handle an opponent from her country.
Yeah.
But that speaks English.
Correct. And then when she lost... She was so...
Mr. Putin, I'm speaking.
I'm speaking.
Excuse me, I'm speaking.
He just makes a hand signal and someone just shoots her. It's like, he would just not have time for it. The fact that she lost is she didn't make a speech, you know? It's like, okay, what happens if you...
Hillary didn't either, to be fair.
It's just another stacking L's for the ladies, unfortunately. I mean, if you want to prove that women can operate at the highest level of political power... You can't throw a hissy fit when you lose. It just is not. And then take an entire day to respond. You know, it's like come out that night and say, it looks like we're losing. We'll wait till the vote's counted tomorrow. If it goes that way, I concede to my opponent.
Thank you for coming.
You know, thank you guys for coming out. We really appreciate your support. We'll talk to you tomorrow. That's all she had to say. You know, she didn't even have to formally concede if she didn't want to. She could have just said, you know, thank you guys for being here. We love you. Yeah. We're going to keep up the fight. You know, whatever she wants to say, but at least say something. You know,
and she even did that passive aggressive thing when she called him. She was like, "And we're gonna have a peaceful transfer of power, unlike some people, you know."
Uh huh.
Like that. What? Like, and we're not. I'm not gonna leave my shoes. I'm not gonna leave my shoes on the bed, mm-hmm. like some people. You know, very very hen, very overbearing. I don't leave my shoes on the bed. I'm not a monster.
I would never put shoes on a bed.
Yeah, why would you put shoes on a bed? That's where you sleep.
Except in a hotel. And that's what that thing at the bottom of the bed is for, so that you can sit on the bed with your shoes on.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that's it for our podcast today. I got to go put this kid down, get my wife a snack. She's been a trooper. Peter would not go to sleep. I can hear him screaming this whole time. Jeez. My lovely wife is really going through it, and we are trying to figure out how to make it work here. So
I
if you could
so
please
sorry.
Pray for us.
Yes.
Please pray for us. It was easy when Peter was just going to bed, but now he's taking like an hour and a half to go to sleep.
Oh,
and
man.
Then it's all like all of our gains get negated by a new problem as soon as we make progress. But I think that's just having kids, you know, it is what it is.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for our 24-hour nonstop election coverage.
Yep.
It does look
next,
like Trump.
Next election,
Puerto Rico,
we will live stream.
So.
That's true.
Next election, we'll live stream. We'll stream the midterms when Trump takes a super majority in the Senate.
Beast.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Instant confirmations. That's a one-party state is what that is.
That sounds amazing.
I don't want it. It's not. It's too. I would legitimately get tired of winning.
Yeah. That's because you're weaker than me. I would win if you and me played Catan every day. I would win every day, and I would not want to stop. I would
Dude,
keep winning.
I'm good at Catan. I would beat
you're
you.
Not, you're not. You're not. You're not. You're not. You're not.
You're smoking.
All right, we got to end the podcast. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Bye.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.